When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, aka Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, aka Fleur.
Einen wunderschönen guten Tag. Frohe Weihnachten nochmal und ein gesundes neues Jahr. Happy New Year. Come in, make yourself at home in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. This is episode number 72 of Shell Cottage Radio, and this week we will talk about chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, the Quidditch Final. Today we have some smaller cottage catch-up and some more British Christmas trivia with Bill. Then we dive headfirst into the summary and our chapter discussion.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. What's going on in a cottage today? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I want to say something.
Go ahead, say it.
Last chapter, we talked about Hermione and that we love Hermione, and this chapter is like this crazy day for Hermione because she's going through a rough time right now.
Right.
I just want to say how much I really appreciate her character and how much everyone loved her. When we first got into Harry Potter, I was like in fourth, fifth grade, a little bit earlier, but that's when really among most kids, Harry Potter became so popular that we would play it during recess. Outside, we would just play Harry Potter. And every girl wanted to be Hermione, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember my friend Manya and I, every time we started a new school year, we were like going to be like Hermione this time. I don't know, like to do all the homework and get ahead and read all the books before we even get to the chapters in the books and, you know, the textbooks. And we're just so motivated. And then the school year came and we're like, yep, we turn more into Ron and Harry again.
Yeah.
It was all fine. We still were doing really well at school, but it's like, loved her because her determination and drive she cares about her friends. She's smart and strong. And just a shout out to Hermione as a character.
Yeah, I think that's cool to hear because she's a role model. She's an inspiration. And even that inspiration might have carried you into the first couple months of the school year.
Yeah.
Like you said. And then, you dip back in. But I mean, you know, maybe if you didn't start off like that, you'd be far off. You'd be far worse. Who knows?
That's true. Maybe. So. You're right.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Anything cool going on in your life? I mean, we technically, when you guys hear this episode, we're probably already back from Germany, or we're just traveling back. So we'll, two episodes from now, we'll talk a little bit more about
the future.
Oh, tell me, how was Germany?
Germany was so good. Like, we went to a Christmas market. We saw some friends. We made some cookies. I think we had something nice and savory for Christmas dinner. I even know where we had it. We were at your Oma's, so that was fun. And
you're like Trelawney right now. You're making really bold predictions.
Bold. I believe I'm going to have great coffee.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a trip around our little peninsula island area that we walk, and we'll post some pictures on social media. And it's going to be great. So I think the weather is going to be mild. I think it's sort of, you know, maybe no, I don't think there's going to be any snow.
Yeah.
No snow. I think it's just going to be real chill, maybe even a little drizzly and rainy. So, yeah,
Uh-huh. Question.
Yeah.
Do you think that, let's say, the Wizarding World is real, which is, it is, right? I mean, of course it is. But are some of our weather people, are they seers? Are they true seers?
Wow, possibly. Possibly.
Did they say one day, well, you know what? I'm going to go help out these muggles and I'm going to just tell them what what they need to wear.
They are predicting.
They can't just...
That is weird.
Right?
That is weird that we have in our society someone who is predicting the future.
What's going on?
Weathermen are predicting and forecasting. They're prophets. Weather prophets.
Or they're running a business with like a fortune teller and you actually are able to tell the future. Or you just have fun with it and you try, you know, sometimes you probably see... a very, I don't know, not so favorable future. And you're just like, yeah.
It's all good.
Oh, great.
Don't worry about it. You know, I even got the kind of, what do you call it? Like a weird feeling, even just saying, oh, yeah, I know what's going to happen to us in Germany. I'm like, oh.
I know. Like don't say anything wrong.
Yeah, I hope everything goes well, really.
Trelawney talks about it, though. And
safe
I believe her.
To us.
It's a burden. And she, you know, everyone's like, yeah, sure, it's a burden. Yeah, I know. Like, because in this chapter, we'll learn Hermione leaves for good. That's what she predicted, right? And she's like, yeah, sure, yes. Yes, of course. And she hoped that the inner eye was wrong, basically.
Yeah.
Or she misinterpreted the signs.
Well, and even the fates tell her later on about the
final. It's a burden.
It's a burden, yeah. So. I'm sure it is, actually.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, what do you got for me? You got any trivia questions for me? Because, you know, I've done a bunch of research and I think I can
answer. On British Christmas?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then tell me, the day after Christmas, known as Boxing Day, is a public holiday in the UK. What is the historical origin of its name? Is it A, from the sport of boxing, B, related to the giving of boxes to service workers, or C, named after a famous battle?
It is named after a famous battle, correct?
Is that your final answer?
It's my final answer. Yeah. It's not
boxing. The historical origin of the name Boxing Day is B, related to the giving of boxes to service workers. It refers to the tradition of giving Christmas boxes to containing money or gifts to service workers and tradespeople as a thank you for good service throughout the year.
How could it be something so regular? You know, I'm always just thinking everything over there and just has to be related to something historical.
You mean like in Europe and Great Britain?
Yeah, I'm always like just thinking in terms of the history lens, but
sometimes we're
honestly
just
didn't
simple
know.
Folks.
Didn't know. So Boxing Day really just has to do with boxes.
Yeah. We cool. learned something new. Number two, a staple of British Christmas dinners is the Christmas pudding. What is traditionally hidden inside the pudding that is said to bring good luck to the person who finds it?
Is it a thimble? Like for your thumb? No?
Nine.
Okay. Nine. Is it some sort of a pound? Is it one of
Yeah.
the... Is it really?
Almost.
Is
so
it one of their a pence?
Traditionally, a silver coin like a sixpence is hidden inside the Christmas pudding. It is said to be to bring good luck to the person who finds it in their serving.
Wow.
This practice dates back to the Victorian era and is a well-loved part of the Christmas meal.
Does it bring good luck to the person who swallows it too?
Or bites it? That's kind of scary. If you're from Britain, and can you let us know, is that still a thing?
Is it a common thing that people accidentally swallow that? Like, holy smokes.
How big is a sixpence?
Did you know, think there are kids who sometimes accidentally swallow, like, you know.
No.
Pennies and stuff?
I would be scared to bite into my, the pudding.
Especially if it's smaller, yeah. I would be,
And no. Also, do you bake it in? Like, is it being baked in with all the others?
I don't know.
Many questions. Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I have a bonus question for you.
Oh, no.
It's kind of like a more funny one.
What is it?
Okay. What do British cats say at Christmas? Is it a Meowy Christmas, Per Noel, or Feline Navidad?
Feline Navidad. All three are really funny. I don't know. Yeah.
Which
one? That's great. I think it's the first one.
It is. It's Meowy Christmas. playful take Christmas. On the common phrase Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool. Yeah,
Lottie loves cats, in case you guys didn't know. Don't know if we've mentioned that here before.
Go Crookshanks.
Go Crookshanks.
Sorry, Scabbers. But,
but not
right.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, no. Okay. Well, all right, friends, with that,
let's dive into the Quidditch final. Chapter 15, The Quidditch Final. Hermione has received a letter from Hagrid about the final appeal for Buckbeak, who has been scheduled for execution. This news casts a shadow over the trio, as they grapple with the injustice facing the Hippogriff. At the same time, the severity of this verdict brings the three closer together again. Ron and Hermione forget about their dispute, and Ron promises to help prepare for the appeal this time. It's their last hope to save Buckbeak. The three do their best to comfort and encourage Hagrid whenever they get a chance to talk to him during Care of Magical Creature lessons. Malfoy, on the other hand, is being absolutely disgusting towards Hagrid, calling him pathetic because he can't hide his tears anymore when he walks away from the class. That does it. Hermione slaps Malfoy right in the face. Harry and Ron, as well as Crabbe and Goyle, are dumbfounded. Malfoy seems far too surprised and afraid to counter, as Hermione even pulls out her wand. So he makes a run for it, closely followed by his two loyal companions. Still impressed by what had just happened, Ron and Harry enter the charms classroom, thinking Hermione would be right behind them. When they turn around, however, she's gone, and doesn't show up to charms or lunch at all. They find her in the common room, fast asleep with her head resting on top of her books. When Harry and Ron wake her up, she's shocked to find out that she missed charms and claims to have simply forgotten to go. Her behavior keeps getting more and more peculiar. And when Professor Trelawney tells Hermione in divination how much she lacks talent and potential for her subject, Hermione shocks everyone by leaving the classroom for good. The Easter holidays come and go, and the third year students are all kept busy with an immense load of homework. Harry also attends Quidditch practice every day. The upcoming Quidditch final has the entire Hogwarts student body buzzing with anticipation and Hal's pride. Of course, the Gryffindor team, and especially Oliver Wood, is determined to win the Quidditch Cup, something they haven't been able to achieve in years. The stakes are high for Wood, as it is his final year at Hogwarts, and winning the Cup has been his biggest dream. But for Gryffindor to succeed, they have to beat Slytherin by more than 200 points. As a Seeker, a lot of responsibility and pressure rest on Harry's shoulders. His mission is clear. He must catch the Snitch at the right time to make sure Gryffindor is up by 50 points when he ends the game. Also, the rivalry between Harry and Malfoy has reached a new climax. Harry is more determined than anyone to win against his archenemy, especially after what he did to Hagrid and Buckbeak. On the day of the match, the atmosphere at Hogwarts is electric, charged with excitement and rivalry. All three houses, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Gryffindor, are cheering for their team in gold and scarlet. Finally, the players mount their brooms, take off, and an aggressive and action-packed game begins. The Slytherin team is known for their rough playstyle, and especially in this match, they don't hold back, using every dirty trick to interfere, provoke, and frustrate Gryffindor. However, Gryffindor responds with skill and determination, gradually building a substantial lead. The game is a roller coaster of emotions, with the crowd's reactions mirroring the highs and lows on the pitch. Harry's doing his best to stay focused, but he is forced to wait for Gryffindor to secure a large enough lead before he can actually catch the Snitch and end the game. He and Malfoy both have spotted and chased the tiny golden ball a couple of times. One time, Harry almost gets a hold of it at the right time, but Malfoy grabs his firebolt and pulls him back. Gryffindors are outraged and start to lose focus. The tension reaches a climax when Gryffindor scores and is up 60 points, yet Harry spots Malfoy far away diving after the Snitch. In a breathtaking moment, Harry accelerates so fast his silhouette turns into a blur to the naked eye. He dodges a bludger, catches up to Malfoy, knocks his rival's hand out of the way, and secures the Snitch. Gryffindor wins the match. Gryffindor wins the Quidditch Cup. The victory is not just a triumph in the game. It rewards all the hard work, perseverance, and teamwork the Gryffindors have put in the past weeks. For Harry, it means he has at least shown Malfoy on the Quidditch pitch that bullying and foul play won't prevail. The entire Gryffindor team and even Professor McGonagall are in tears. Dumbledore hands them the cup, and the night ends with a euphoric celebration as Gryffindor revels in their hard-fought victory, marking a significant moment of joy and unity in the Hogwarts community.
So this chapter is wild. It is an emotional, intense, very well written chapter, I have to say, because if you really slow down and you listen, maybe not in the beginning, like the beginning, yes, there's definitely a lot of emotion, a lot of things going on with Hermione, as we alluded to last week, and as Lottie mentioned at the beginning of this episode. But I think once you get to the Quidditch final, it is wild.
I know. I get so pumped when I read about it and the rivalry and the excitement around a game. And it's like the big, I mean, I'm always so amazed how big high school football is here. Like the entire town, township area, they all know about it. They all go. It's like a huge event. They sometimes have it on TV. It's unthinkable that school matches would be on TV in Germany, really.
Yes, it's
so cool,
crazy,
though,
right?
Because they get to be little stars when they're growing up and get a feeling of like what it is like to be a sports star.
It's really cool for the local community. Yeah, you've got your local team and you've got your kids are in that school and there's a history because you maybe as a parent went to that school as well. I think one of the moments, and we'll get to it later, but when Harry sort of breaks away and leads and sort of bust up that sort of wall of Slytherins.
Oh, yeah.
And Angelina goes in and scores right as as she's heading towards the goal and they see Harry coming in to bust it up.
Yeah.
Literally, as the book describes it, the crowd roars.
It's
just roaring with energy.
I'm getting goosebumps right now.
And you can just feel like Harry's just like down on that broom and you can feel every, like his body is tense. He is leaning into the broom. And he is like, he can hear. Imagine if you're Harry and you can hear the roaring around you. You can almost barely hear. It's just like you're just locked in. All of it is feeding your emotion and you're coiled in a way that you're going to like, you don't care. Like you'll do things that are like nuts, right? That don't make sense. Like when I was on the football field and I played football, like to rush and hit and dive and
and hear the crowd cheering
to go nuts
all
that
your teammates
that you made that block or you caught that. I caught a touchdown pass one time and to hear people roaring, I was like, whoa, especially once I caught it and then I broke a tackle and then I dove in the end zone and everyone's just like, roaring. I was like, I was out of my mind. I felt like I was flying for a hot second. I didn't know what happened. I don't do spin moves and a spin move came out of nowhere. I just did a spin move and didn't even imagine. So I'm imagining if you're on the Quidditch pitch and that kind of emotion and energy is there, it's just like, it just fuels you in a way that's wild. Yeah. And it's very well written because it does, if you listen to the crowd, bringing in the like Lee Jordan commentating and everything, it's just like his excitement.
Yeah.
You get that through the microphone, you get him, McGonagall, and then you get the crowd and you get everyone. Yeah, it's just, it's huge.
It's like
huge.
All these vibrations, like, you know, everyone is vibing same. You get that excitement. And I definitely can also relate to that so well, because volleyball, if we had a big game, big rivalry game sometimes, and you hit that kill and everyone's like, I mean, you come, what we do in volleyball always after every single point, even though it's for the others, after every single point, we have this ritual where you come together in your circle and you, I don't know, like say something or you cheer together. And then when you get let out this energy from that kill, you're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
You get together in that circle and you just jump together or you know, high five. And so it's just such good energy. Or when you get a really good save, like a dig, when everyone already thought it was gone, right? And you run after it and
out
you
of
get
nowhere.
It and then the play goes on.
Right.
And
it's
just you hear,
I mean,
audience like
even on and I know we're just diving right into this too, but like
right into the Quidditch final.
Like even when Malfoy grabs Harry's broom and it's a foul, Oh, the Slytherins. They love it. I know. Such a good play. Good play.
That's how they play.
Yeah, it's terrible, you got to. It's like, hey, he almost got it. Like, yeah. You got to do something. You got to do something. So,
actually,
like,
they do
he's
that in
hero.
Soccer, too, right? They do that in soccer where if you're the only one left before the goal and if the one of the defenders is fast enough, you foul him. No matter if you get yellow or red, you try everything. Not everyone does it, but it's kind of like the team would kind of expect you to do that because you try your best to follow him
in that moment and
take the penalty because then you still have a chance that he misses.
Happens in football. Receivers wide open down the field and you know if he catches this, it's a touchdown. So what do? You hit him before he has a chance to, it's a penalty. Yeah. It's a pass interference. You get, this penalty, but we have another chance. We only gave up a penalty. We definitely shouldn't have done that. We broke the rules. They should have scored, but now we're making it harder for them to do it again. Now you have to
And they're getting into their heads. That's what the Slytherins really are celebrating this. And you can read about this momentum of, Gryffindors are losing focus. They're being so far they've been up 50 points. Really good. That's what they need because they need to, they can't just win. They have to win by a certain amount of points to secure the cup. So everything's well, but then Slytherin, that's their way to kind of counter that energy. They're trying to make them frustrated, nervous. You lose focus. You focus too much on the, on how unfair this move was, right? And even Madame Hooch is outraged. I have never seen such a dirty trick before. McGonagall doesn't even care what Lee's commenting. She's yelling something at the Slytherins. And
right. I mean, I imagine as a Hufflepuff, I'd be in there like, this game is wild.
I know. I wish, I can totally see you. I wish we both could just jump into the story and watch this game together because I know you're such a good sports watcher and in general movie watcher because you show so much emotion, so many emotions and rooting for people. And yesterday you actually called me a couple of times. You were watching the Bengals game, which was also crazy. And I said to you, I was like, I wish I could be with you right now, just seeing your emotions, because that's so fun to me.
Yeah, just a quick little modern day connection here. That was they're calling it the catch of the year in NFL, and that's the term it had. And it was T. Higgins caught this touchdown pass, and I was just sitting there all alone by myself, and I was literally just hands up in the air, touchdown. I was just like, before the referee called it, I was calling it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
And I love a good game. I love a good back and forth battle, just intense, really highly competitive. When you're blowing a team out of the water, it's sort of like, yeah, okay, cool. You executed, you did your thing, finish it strong and be done. And then respect and move on, whatever. But boy, this was huge. Even Snape's down in the front row, just like, he's just, I don't know, he's enjoying his, he's joining.
Is he?
He's in the front row. He's in the front row of the Slytherin section, yes.
Really?
Absolutely he is. And he's wearing all green, and he's got awesome. This grin on his face, and he is ready to go. So,
can you imagine Snape cheering?
Oh, yeah. He's 100% just loving the, Malfoy and what he does. He's loving the, the penalties and the scores. There's a few scores. So there's actually a momentum shift, and Slytherin actually starts to get some momentum. And actually, imagine this, too. Sorry, we're just going to talk about the Quidditch final, please. And then we'll go back to Hermione punching Draco, which was awesome. But essentially, when Draco makes his dive, Harry's stomach drops. And I'm going to say something that is controversial, okay?
Yeah.
If Harry doesn't have the Firebolt, and he has the Nimbus 2000.
He probably wouldn't have made it.
He wouldn't have got it.
Yeah.
He would not have got the snitch.
Yeah.
And he's in tune. This Firebolt feels him. They're back and forth.
Yep.
Draco is on a Nimbus 2001.
Yes. Also,
right?
Probably the second best broom.
Right. And he has a lead, and he had a drop on the snitch. Now, Harry's skill is better. I think he's a better seeker. And I think he definitely can make up the time. So even Harry on a Nimbus 2000 and Draco on a Nimbus 2001, Draco would have the better broom, but not be as talented, I think, of a seeker. Harry would be on a lesser broom, but a more talented seeker, and I think it would have been really close, yeah. but Draco had the drop on, like, caught him because mm-hmm. Harry diverts his attention to free up the way for Angelina to make that score.
Yeah.
Because everyone is concerned about that and he sees it. Oh, they've got her. They're going to, this is the momentum shifting. He makes a call to forget the snitch for a second, and that's when Draco sees it. And you're like, oh, yeah. crap. Yeah. So it's because of the firebolt that he's able to get back in. Because the Slytherins, their energy when Draco goes for, like, imagine Crabbe and Goyle in that stand going, holy, he's got it. Yeah, like, yeah. Draco's on it. Harry's over there.
Yeah.
He doesn't even see it. No, Draco yeah. made his dive, and then Harry, that's why he gets sick.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. And then everything he has goes into yes. trying to pursue Malfoy and yes. get there and beat him and do whatever. I actually thought... just in the reread, I don't mm-hmm. remember. I didn't remember how it went down, but I thought, oh, is Harry going to foul him like he fouled?
Oh, I know
him like well, that would have been
like it's
smart.
It doesn't seem to be a foul to just
yeah to knock his hand
knock
out of the way.
Your hand out of the way,
right?
Because it's cool. I wish this is the moment where I wish we had our video version already. In our like the edition we have is the Scholastics, or probably the American version, probably one of the original. Yep. Ones with the chapter illustration here, you can see it very well. That's how Harry actually catches the snitch. We don't see Draco on here, but he has one hand, like one hand punches like Draco's hand out of the way. The other hand he uses for the snitch. So he doesn't
both
have
hands
any,
off the broom.
Yeah, both hands off the broom while he just dodged a bludger. Like it's all in one illustration. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, dodging a bludger, catching the snitch, knocking Malfoy. So it's like, yeah, knock
all
his hand
one...
away, dodge the bludger,
yeah.
catch the snitch. All in one motion,
yeah.
all from behind when he...
While he was, yeah, already accelerating super fast, and now you have to
Superstar.
Also control your... Yeah, so it was a crazy move. Like, controlling that firebolt is another skill, right, that you
yeah.
have to have. I think if Ron was on that firebolt, he would not have...
Yeah, you have to learn it and master it.
All that, yeah.
yeah. See, I brought up the NFL catch of the year because I think this is one of the best moments in Quidditch that we
yeah.
that we have in all of Harry Potter.
Yeah. yeah.
This moment right here is probably the tippy top.
Yes.
And it's just, I mean, yeah, the Ron moment later is pretty freaking cool when he's
that's
goalie.
True. Yeah, that's
like,
probably
that's,
a second.
That's
yeah.
cool. That's cool. But this is definitely just Harry being a superstar.
Yeah.
And it's huge. There's more to say about that, especially
yeah.
the end of it. So we'll come back to that. But yeah. to start everything off, we're going to go back to a little somber.
Yeah,
mood.
I know.
Okay, sorry.
Before you got this whole Quidditch action goes down.
Yeah.
They got the news about
Buckbeak.
Yeah.
yeah. And Hermione's devastated. And so they're, yeah, it definitely cast a shadow over them. Yeah, for sure.
Look
so.
At how the letter is portrayed.
Yeah.
In the book, we see the Hagrid's tears actually on the letter.
Oh my gosh. She's crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sad. And basically what this does though, it's very severe. Buckbeak is sentenced to be executed, and Ron and Hermione forget about their dispute, and they are going to go try to prepare an appeal,
yeah.
if possible. It's this sort of, if we can do this, like Ron's now willing to do research, Hermione's willing to, she's extremely smart, she's got a lot going on, and they're putting aside their studies to save, you know, to save a magical creature's life, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's exactly what they're trying to do. So anyway, it brings them together. They put aside this whole bit with their
yes.
with Crookshanks and Scabbers and
oh, I know. Ron doesn't know what to do when Hermione hugs him. He's like, okay,
yeah.
Please take this girl off. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's like,
no. He's I think he's very very happy. That
inside, he's melting.
Again.
Like, oh,
for sure.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Like, didn't know how I was going to get to this point.
Yeah.
Sometimes he has too much pride. A lot of us do.
A little bit.
And, yeah.
And he's still at that age where, you know, like, a girl, I don't know about girls, you know.
Right.
What shocks me the most, though, is, and I'm going to read this part real quick, where Hagrid says, it's all my fault. Got all tongue-tied. They was all sitting there in black robes, and I kept dropping my notes and forgetting all them dates. You looked up for me, Hermione. And then Lucius Malfoy stood up and said his bid, and the committee just did exactly what he told him. So how come that Hagrid doesn't get a lawyer? Like, of course you are so emotional, you can't really defend yourself. Like, you need a lawyer
mm-hmm.
to make those points and who has all the dates and and knowledge. And
yeah, here's something interesting. If this were just a hippogriff in the wild, see, I think this is not to, you know, this is kind of like if you have a dog or a cat, right? Mm-hmm. Like around here, if a dog gets off of its leash or if it runs away from its owner and it bites someone else, like, yeah, that owner is taken to court, right?
Right, especially but if you it's have severely, a lawyer, right?
Yeah, for sure. What I'm pointing out here is that, like, Hagrid is defending Buckbeak because mm-hmm. Buckbeak is part of the herd, right? Yeah. His herd. And if it's just if it's just one in wild and they tracked it down, there's no defense. There's
true.
No, right? I mean,
right, because he's his owner.
Right, yeah, so Hagrid is responsible to some degree. But yes, he mounts his own defense, probably didn't have the money to do it. Like, you wonder, does Hogwarts have its own wizard attorneys that
I
sort
don't
of
know.
Like
the thing is we
this
was, never
this happened on this happened in a class setting.
I know. He should be what do you call insurance? It might not for it's not a yeah, sorry. He doesn't have to pay him out or anything, but it's kind of crazy. Like, we never really hear about any lawyer system in the wizarding world.
No.
There is no lawyer for the Death Eaters that are
right.
put on trial back in the day with Barty Crouch. There is no lawyer really for Harry, except for Dumbledore, who kind of ends up being his lawyer.
Yeah.
On that day. So there is no such thing.
What, like, if you're just defending yourself, it comes down to how well you know the law and how well you can
You can speak.
Yeah. Yeah. He does sort of say that it's it's not his fault, but I mean, he does feel responsible for it because it didn't go well. And it seems like the cards are stacked against him anyway, so it doesn't really matter that much. If this attack would have happened on another student, maybe he would have had a better chance, but it happens to Malfoy. And his father is in touch with a lot of the governing body over Hogwarts and then has sway there at the Ministry of Magic. So,
but this whole incident is such a motivation boost for Harry to beat Malfoy in the
game.
Like, they talk about how Wood and the rest of the team, they're so determined because for Wood it's this last chance to win the cup.
Yes.
And the rest of the team just, you know, they never won the cup either, so they all want to win. But Harry says he claims to be the one who's the most motivated to win because of Malfoy.
Yeah.
And what
well,
he did
and
to Hagrid.
Actually, it's exactly. So Hermione even, you know, kind of gets at him right a little bit too. So when Malfoy is basically still being vile and disrespectful and is sort of gloating about the fact that this is going to happen to Buckbeak. And that's when Hermione encounters him and they're all about to rush at him and Hermione gets at him first. And this is what we see in the film, the infamous just like boom, punch.
It's so good.
The Hermione punch. And it is...
So here it's more of a slap, like he just gives him
right.
a classic like slap across the face.
In the film, though, she'd get full
I know.
Fist. Just
in
like,
the note, punch him in.
Boom.
Punch him in the nose. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's after that that she's really telling Harry, like, you better.
Yeah.
You better beat him.
I could
like, beat him in the final. Like, Harry, you have to.
Yeah.
Because just we can't stand this. She needs to be knocked down a notch.
Yeah.
It's awful. And I think Ron probably like impressed. They all were going after him. And the other thing is like grab and go. Like, what do we do? You're not going. Are you gonna hit her back?
Girl,
like, yeah.
Or...
Like, what's? I know. And then he knows he's being disrespectful. He knows that this is not something he should have said, and that he is also in trouble. Now, as a teacher, I gotta say, Hermione would be in trouble.
Yes.
Okay, flat out. So would Draco.
I think there's no teachers around because they already are leaving. Like, they're already leaving for the castle. They're almost there. I think. Yeah, almost back to the castle because Hagrid turned around and he's trying to like hide his tears, but he's sobbing while he walks back to his hut. And that's where Draco's like, oh, look at that blabbering.
Yeah.
Blubbering?
Blubbering? Blabbering, yeah. What about
blubbering.
Crying.
Look at him blubber.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a fool and this is supposed to be a teacher and Hermione just loses it. And she pulls out her wand. I think that's what causes Draco to be really careful because he knows how skilled Hermione is.
Oh yeah, and Crab and Goyle do too. They may be dummies, but if the most powerful, I mean she is, the most powerful witch in your class draws a wand on you and has the drop on you, you ain't doing nothing.
No, yeah.
I ain't moving. Hands up.
Yep. Especially Slytherins. They're self-preserving.
Calm
Get
down,
out of
Hermione.
Here. Yep.
Yeah. And they know they're wrong, you know, and I think they also know her heart a little bit and who she is as a person. Like, they went too far.
Yeah.
And so he's stunned. Like, oh my gosh. Like, whoa. I did not think I would be able to get to them this way. And it shows you the amount of tension or stress that
when you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
She's under, right? She's been stressed with schoolwork. She's been stressed out. She's been very cautious about this whole Sirius Black thing. She's got the time turner, all these responsibilities. She's been stressed and strained between her friendships with Ron and Harry. And you know, it feels like Prisoner of Azkaban is like Hermione's book.
Almost. Yeah, I know.
It really, because it's all about... It's all about her. I mean, in a weird way, she's not around for some of it. But like the moments where she is, she's just kind of doing her own thing. And you just feel like it's and actually the whole end of the book is all about Hermione. It's just all what she does. And it's such a it's just really cool. I think it's just really, really her book.
And I think she learned so much. We underestimate like she's under this immense stress, but she does all her homework. And she finally drops one of, as we're going to learn, she finally drops one of the subjects she thinks is the least helpful in her education. But otherwise, I think she is still a straight A student in all of her subjects. So that means she learned so much in this year.
Yeah.
And I always am amazed how much, even like, especially doing that age when they're like 12, 13, 14 years old, how much the kids grow up in 1 year. It's wild.
It is. Yeah. So directly following that, we're going to kind of just keep in line sequence of events here for a second. Mm. After that, because it's an important one. So all that stress and tension is built up and she unleashes on Malfoy and they're like, whoa. So they're impressed. Ron and Harry are like, what's up?
Yeah.
They're headed to charms class.
Yeah.
And Hermione is supposed to be right behind them.
Yeah.
She's nowhere to be seen.
She's vanished.
She's gone. And so she's not there. She didn't turn up for lunch, and they realize they find her asleep in the Gryffindor common room. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, what happened? Where am I at?" Blah blah blah. So when you get into the time turner situation, why can't she just go back in time and go to that class?
Fix that problem and go to the class? She can't because she already did not go.
Yes.
Because she went to another class. That's the thing. She probably, Charms was not one of her, she must have had two or three classes at once at that time when Charms is going on. So Charms must not have been her first class that she goes to. That's why she missed Charms. She must have gone, I don't know where she went, arithmancy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's even like, her head's resting on her arithmancy book. So let's say she went to arithmancy, then she just, I don't know, got all this homework and she's like, oh, I'm going to go maybe do that real quick, or I'm so tired, I have to go back to the common room for a second. Mm-hmm. And then she forgets to go back in time to go to Charms.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she usually would.
Right, right. And so, since she forgot,
since she didn't go, she can't go now because Ron and Harry already witnessed her being not being in Charms.
Right, and since something was witnessed in the present timeline, that's the whole paradox of this thing. Since they saw that she wasn't there, she can't go back and correct it.
Yes, because there's only one timeline.
Right. So
every future decision is already in the timeline now. Yeah.
Right. Yes. So because I think I brought this up in one of the shorts, like if Hermione or any character or us, the reader or whatever is given to us as like this happened.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, happened. And
right.
It's always happened. And there's no like, you can't go back and change it. If it's presented to us in present time and we see that it's happened. Yeah. And this is what confused a lot of people on my YouTube videos. They were like, what we see in the movie, like Buckbeak is executed.
No, we don't.
No, we do not. And actually, that's the whole point, is that in the moment, Harry, Ron, and Hermione later on will go up the hill and they don't. This is to jump ahead a little bit. They're like, no, we don't.
They
like
hear it.
They hear something. Yeah. They think he's executed, but Dumbledore in the present.
Yeah.
So our characters are not privy to what happened.
Right. They don't know that Buckbeak was gone.
had they have actually seen him be executed,
yeah,
and that would have mean that Dumbledore would, then there is no way to go back and save him.
Right.
Same thing I pose with like, if Hermione sees something happens to Scabbers, Scabbers really is, you know, attacked and killed or eaten by Crookshanks, there's no going back in time to save him.
No.
If you see it happened, it's happened.
Yes.
So it's sort of the...
it's very logical, actually, if you think about it. I mean, it's a paradox, but it's a logical paradox.
Yeah, it's...
if that makes sense.
If you're interested in looking this up, it's something that I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
It's called the self-consistency theory.
Mm.
So it's basically everything has to remain consistent. There is no loophole. There's no way in which you can kind of...
You don't have alternative timelines. You don't have a splitting timeline where, okay, this time it happened and you can't undo that on that timeline, but you open up a new one where it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's very strange. Yeah. It's such a weird kind of thing to think about. It's like all of the time traveling that's ever happened, you will see and witness in the present.
Yeah.
There is nothing that will, like, you're going to, like, it's going to happen and then you didn't see it. No, if you're walking through straight ahead in time, whatever time traveling that's going to happen in the future is taking place right now in your present, and there is no effect that's going to, like, it's
and
crazy.
I think that's how I would imagine it. Because how do we imagine sometimes, what if we met this person who came back in time or came from the past or the future? Well, now you've met them, so that means in your time, I don't know if you were in a certain timeline, but if you imagine there is no alternative timelines, but it's all woven into that one truth, one reality, right?
Yeah.
Where it happens. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to read this real quick for just kind of an aside. But I don't know if I pronounced his name right. The Novikov or Novikov consistency principle assumes certain conditions about what sort of time travel is possible. Specifically, it assumes either that there is only one timeline or that any alternative timelines, such as those postulated by the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics, are not accessible.
Yeah.
So that's sort of when J.K. Rowling was coming up with, like, what can I do that's going to be a closed loop theory? Like, there is no alternate universe
and
that can be created.
That's the best way she could have gone about it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Because that solves the problem of, why didn't no one go back and save Harry's parents? Because they couldn't, because no one already did go back. Like, that's the reality they faced was Harry's parents were killed. So no one can go back and change that because no one has done that in the future.
Yeah.
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 So that saves the paradox or problem there.
Right. And one of the things, too, people talk about, like, one of the, so an example of this is you cannot will yourself to go back to your younger self in time travel and do something that would, like, disable you or prevent you from doing something else. Like, it just it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's in this type of theory or principle or whatever. So I believe it's like this is the one that it aligns best with. A lot of people over on Reddit and different places sort of agree that this is the principle that she kind of used to establish her time travel rules.
Now,
although it's different in the problem is that it's very different in what's it called? The book. The play. Cursed Child.
Oh yeah, Cursed Child. Yeah, it is a little different. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, Cursed Child is not part of this discussion because they change up the rules a little bit. Yeah.
They change the rules of time travel. So,
they do.
Yeah.
But I just had an interesting thought. You know why? I mean, part of it, why Hermione, and we're going after her, she's kind of in shock. Okay, I miss charms. And she learns that they did cheering charms, and she's so certain that this is going to be on their exams. She goes back, apologizes to Flitwick. I'm sure Flitwick knows about her circumstances, so he'd be like, it's okay. The way I imagine Flitwick, he's a good teacher, but also very kind, very like, don't worry about it. We got it. All good. And then they go to divinations next. And the reason why Hermione just can't stand and can't get into this art, this mindset. And it's interesting how Trelawney talks about it here at the beginning of the lesson. But I think part of it is, yes, someone like Professor McGonagall, who's, I think, a huge role model to Hermione, also dismisses this subject, this magic. She's just like, oh, it's kind of a not really accurate and stuff. Plus, Hermione has a time travel device. So what does, like, she's like, why do you try and tell the future if, you know, I could, I mean, again, she can't go back and change something that's already happened in that regard, but I don't know, I feel like she knows about how gray or like how hard it is to tell really what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, but what's interesting is that the time turner, time travel, is sort of introduced and mixed in here with divination.
Yeah.
All in one book.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. Which is very, which is a very interesting, like comparison. We don't really see people using time turners to go forward in time, right? Divination seems to predict the future and the inner eye and the fates are sort of like, and she mentions the fates.
Oh, yeah.
The fates have informed her that, what did she say? Like that the midterm
Your
or the final
examination in June will concern the orb, and I'm anxious to give you sufficient practice.
Yeah, so maybe she did see that. Like, hey, that's what I decided.
Ow.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, in the last episode, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, Lottie has bopped the microphone consistently. Consistently, I'm just sitting here, like, honestly dumbfounded sometimes. She bops the microphone. She
didn't last time.
Yes, you did. You you know how many times you hit the cable? Do you know how many times that you hit this
Is
cable?
Is that bad?
Yeah, you can hear it. It just like it's a big like bloop, 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 bloop. That's why I wear headphones.
Oh.
That's why I wear headphones, because you don't realize all those little things that you do affect the listener experience.
The fates have just informed me.
I'm gonna do something for folks. This is what So cover your ears for a second. This is what she's doing. She's going. I hope she hears this in editing. And she'll hear what that sounds like. There we go. Okay. Lesson learned. All right. The fates have informed us, right? That, that the final is going to be concerning the orb. And just sounds like rubbish, you know, to Hermione. Like, come on. You just decided that. That was me predicting our future in Germany because I want to have good coffee and I know what I want to do. So I'm hoping to manifest and make that happen.
Okay. Can I read something though to you, how she introduces the crystal gazing lesson?
Yes.
So crystal gazing is a particularly refined art, she said dreamily. I do not expect any of you to see when first you peer into the orb's infinite depths. We shall start by practicing relaxing the conscious mind and external eyes. So as to clear the inner eye and the superconscious. Perhaps if we are lucky, some of you will see before the end of the class.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I think I would have really actually liked to be in her class. I really do.
I mean,
I think there's something about Trelawney that I just really like, and I think she's cool. And I'm also the person who, when I see other people snickering at other people, I kind of am out. I'm like, nah, there's a lot that person has to offer and there's really cool aspects about that individual.
Yeah.
And I instantly go against the majority. If the majority is kind of like, you know, kind of against her, unless they're valid and there's a lot of,
true.
Know.
And I think the mix of it, like in her class, there is probably something to it. And there's also probably something that she makes it bigger than it is sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think if you hear Ron sniggering and then look at Parvati and Lavender's face, they're probably like,
and I think I'd be more like them. Like, Ron, hey, let her, what's going on? Just
let
because
the woman speak.
Yeah. Let her tell the future here. Okay. Anyway, it's just cool because I always think about different teachers and how different students connect with different individuals. And I don't get, you know, it's you can't, everyone's got different things, right? Different styles that they like. And some kids come into my room, love the style of teaching and things that we do. And others are like, this is what I'm out. Like, and I'm like, cool. See, like there's someone else for you that you can connect with and you kind of got to move on. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she, I don't know, can you maybe kind of lead us into how this, how like Hermione's exit, right, from divination.
Hermione definitely has had a day. She's had it with Trelawney for quite a while, but I think this just brings the, you know, how do you say it in English, where everything overboils, like the whole...
Yeah, it comes to a head. It's
just too much now.
Right.
Because Trelawney begins again to see the grim and terrible future for Harry. And Hermione's just rolling her eyes again, like, what? Okay.
Right. Enough's enough.
And then Professor Trelawney's like, I am sorry to say that from the moment you have arrived in this class, my dear, it has been apparent that you do not have what the noble art of divination requires. Indeed, I do not remember ever meeting a student whose mind was so hopelessly mundane.
Mm.
Whoa.
Dang.
First of all, not okay to just tell, you know, tell a student that. And then especially Hermione, who is acing every single class, who's talented and everything else, she doesn't want to hear. It's almost like, you know, back in the day when they had flying lessons.
Yeah.
The only thing just she didn't like, she couldn't learn from a book. She couldn't get her, like, I don't know, her mind was just not in the right headspace, whatever. Hermione had, like, she's like, oh, you're telling me I'm not talented enough for that. Oh, okay. Fine. Swinging the bag over her shoulder, almost knocking Ron off his chair. I give up. I'm leaving. And to the whole class's amazement, Hermione strode over to the trapdoor, kicked it open, and climbed down the ladder out of sight.
Yep.
Everyone can't believe it.
Right. Bavardi's like, Lavender, they're sitting there. Prophecy fulfilled.
Oh, I know. And it's...
Right?
It's like Trelawney's like, yeah.
I said that.
I told you.
Like,
I knew that.
Do you guys see what just happened? Do you see that? You see? Let me flex a little bit. All right. Yeah. Do you see that? So called it. I want to say too that as a teacher, you know, when a kid does that, I have had kids flat out like, you know, call you out for your teaching style, what we're doing, blah blah blah, X Y Z. This, and they have their reasons. They list off all the reasons why this is dumb and I don't need to do this. And
yeah,
like, you're a bad teacher. Like, this doesn't make any sense what you're teaching us, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff or whatever. And the more appropriate response is to just basically remind them, here are the directions.
Oh, always.
Save, thank you for sharing your opinion.
Yeah.
It's been heard, and now it's time for you to attend to the task.
Yeah.
In my class.
Yeah.
And that's it. You don't get getting into an argument with your kids, and that's just where that shows a little bit, I think, for Trelawney, where she's kind of like, okay, maybe she has a point.
Yeah.
Even if she does have a point, you got to have the
professional to not let your emotions.
Take the feedback in stride and like, okay, we're not changing all of that right now. We're not going to change all of your, we're not going to wave our magical wand and all of a sudden some, you know, lesson or curriculum or whatever is going to pop out here and just educate you in a way that you think it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So the task is X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Back to work. Yeah. Thank you, though. We'll adjust in the future if we need to and move on.
Yep.
Anyway, I just want to point out, because it's like, to me as a teacher, I'm always thinking like, what do you do? What do you do when a kid sort of says that? When they're like, Frau Kirk, hey, this lesson, garbage.
Yes. But also, you're welcome to leave the class because this is an elective.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not interested in my class and what I have to teach you, you're more than welcome to drop it.
I often have to say that for some of my stuff too, which is sort of like, mine is remedial. A lot of my stuff is remedial. And if you think this is like beneath you or you're good, here's a couple assessments coming down the line, ace those.
Yep.
That's the hard one, is that I have to put back on kids like, okay, the reason you're in here is because you failed these assessments.
Yeah.
You're not demonstrating that you do know the things that you're saying you do know. And so that's a hard one. I have to do that a lot. And then kids are kind of like, you know, actually, though, I try to motivate them and say, like, you know, no, this is where it's at right here. You do well on this.
Yeah.
You show us where you're at. We're good. You can bounce. You're gone. And that's tough. But anyway, yeah, it's, I don't know, kind of what. Also, good on Hermione. Speak your mind. Drop it. Get out of there. I don't know.
Yeah.
She could have. There's other ways to do it. It's all kind of boiled up, as you said. And she's just like, ugh, I'm just going to say it and I'm out. Bye. But yeah, there's different ways to go about it. Yeah.
I think so many have probably suggested to her in the past couple of weeks and months to drop a subject. And I think there's a lot of pride involved for her to say, I'm not dropping anything. I said I could do this.
Yes.
I'm the best student in my year. Or, you know, I want to learn everything, even though some things, they don't come as easy to me, where I'm not as interested in it. But there's this huge element of pride. I am not going to drop any of my classes.
Yeah.
And finally, she says, I know it's going to be better for my mental health. It's better for my other classes. I will be able to perform better in my exams and everything and just have this headspace. Because for her, it is a waste of time. She doesn't believe in this form of magic, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good for her in this moment to say, okay, it's not for me. Maybe she could have done it in a different way. But she was very, still very, Like in the movie, it's way more like she just. But what does she do? The crystal ball.
She swats it and knocks it and it rolls. Like, yeah. Right.
I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. Bye. And just like, she can almost pretend like I accidentally knocked it over. Sorry. Yeah. Not sorry. Can I tell you, I had a real time turner situation at school the other day.
Okay.
I had a student walk up to me and he was like, Mr. Kirk, I kind of have a problem. Like he's really academically savvy. He's got a lot of goals and ambition. He comes over and he's like, I don't know. Like, he's like, I hear all the things I want to do next year. And I know we're coming up to scheduling and he's got them all listed out there. And I literally had to say, I was like, okay, unless you have a time turner, you can't do all this.
Yeah.
And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, hold on. And I pulled out a sheet of paper and I'm like, there are 8 slots in a day. That's it. There are 8 45-minute blocks that you can fill with class. Unless you know something I don't know, these 11 classes
don't fit.
Don't fit. They do not fit. So you can pick 8. Well, why? I want to take all these next year.
Yeah.
Cool. I figured, I don't know. I'm telling you right now that like you've got 8 slots. I don't know. You can maybe try to take one after school online. Maybe that gets you in. Take one in the summer. I'm all yours.
Ooh, but, I wonder if Hogwarts offers any summer class.
Even independent study. I was like, do they offer something like that?
Maybe. Because I feel like if they had summer school, Hermione would go too.
Now, as we go into the Easter holiday, right?
Oh, yeah. We actually have a 2-week Easter holiday in between. Very quick, though, because they all have so much homework.
So much homework. So many things to catch up on, essays to write and what have you. Harry is out there every day on the Quidditch pitch attending practice. And we know that the Quidditch final is coming up. And everyone is pumped. Yeah. Everyone is highly anticipating this match. It's being talked about. I guarantee there was some inside betting going on.
For sure. You know, the Weasleys probably had a whole
thing
going on with that. Yep.
Right.
Well, they probably couldn't because they're players and they can't.
I also guarantee you that Oliver Wood neglected all of his studies.
Oh, for sure.
I guarantee he did.
Isn't it his last year, though? He probably has to just like, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sure he's got stuff going on. But I guarantee you, maybe he had, I always wonder, was Oliver Wood dating anybody? I don't know. Or was
we don't know. He probably was.
Probably. But like, I wonder if he has like a couple close friends who are just like, hey, Wood, look, homework, we're going to give you like the summary of what you need to know. Yeah. We're going to tutor you through this. I'm not endorsing this as a teacher. I'm not saying this is good, but I'm just imagining that some of them were like, hey, here's some homework help.
Yes.
Because focus on the game.
They want him to win.
Focus on the game. Sure, like, oh my gosh.
Never realized that Oliver Wood and Percy are in the same year.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Really cool. So anyway, but he's determined and, this is it, man. What does it say? So Gryffindor, how did you put that? They have to beat them to win the cup. They have to win by more than 200 points.
Yes,
to
they
win
have
the
to
house
have
cup.
To win the Quidditch Cup.
The Quidditch Cup, because of all the points from the previous games and the way things were stacked or whatever, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Because probably the points they lost in other games, and if they just win but less than 200 points ahead of Slytherin, then they don't win the cup.
Gotcha. See, that reminds me of like soccer a little bit, where you have a points total, like how well you beat, how many goals you beat a team by.
It matters.
And so just winning alone may not do it for you.
True, that happens actually a lot in like the World Cup or European Championships and stuff, that you have to, because in your group, you have to have a certain amount of goals. Like once you get to the final, it's like, and it doesn't matter anymore. But if you're in your group still playing and you have to be like first or second in your group, then you have like the amount of goals can sometimes be very important.
Right.
If you can make it or not to the next round.
Yeah. As you pointed out in the summary. So he's got to catch that snitch just at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And Gryffindor needs to be up by 50 points.
Yeah. I mean, Draco could catch the snitch right away and they would win the game and the cup. Like, they don't care. Slytherins, they don't need a certain amount of goals. They could.
Right.
That's why they can focus on just defending, basically.
Yeah.
They don't need to score. And they just hope that Draco catches.
Man, that makes it even more intense. Like, even more of an intense. You're really Gryffindor coming from behind. Like, we've got a chance. But we've got to put points up fast. And then we need Harry to catch this bad boy at the right time.
Yeah.
Wow.
A new rule I learned, by the way, was that you cannot attack the keeper if the Quaffle is not in range, in scoring range, because someone attacks Oliver Wood with a bludger, and they get a penalty for it. The Slytherins get a penalty for it because the Quaffle is not in scoring range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think there's over 200 some penalties or whatever. So they mentioned that at one point. You're like, wow, what are all the, what can you do and what can't you do? It seems like there's a lot you can do because we see a lot of jostling and a lot of different things go down. Right. But in this match, we see more penalties and more penalty shots.
That's why Madame Hooch doesn't teach a lot of classes because she has to keep up with all the penalties in Quidditch.
Yeah, probably. Reviewing all the rules.
Yeah.
So, but this is really cool. We already talked at the beginning of this episode about the energy there and the different houses, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Gryffindor, just cheering for Harry.
Luna probably among them.
Yes, definitely. I'm sure. So that was crazy. So we talked about all of that. We talked about how, you know, Harry, all the things that he was doing, all the scoring, the back and forth, Lee Jordan, McGonagall, Snape, the crowd, the roaring, all of it. It's so well done. It is.
I love this. Yeah,
so energetic.
The chapter so much. Mm-hmm. And especially the end. I think I want to read some of the end. By the way, Dumbledore has the cup already there. Like, it's already like sitting probably next to him on a big pedestal.
Here it is. Pedestal.
Pedestal. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the cup. Come and get it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
The end is great because when Harry finally catches the snitch. Here he goes. So Harry threw himself forward, took both hands off his broom, and he knocked Malfoy's arm out of the way. And yes, he pulled out of his dive, his hand in the air, and the stadium exploded. Harry soared above the crowd, an odd ringing in his ears. The tiny golden ball was held tight in his fist, beating its wings hopelessly against his fingers. Then Wood was speeding toward him, half blinded by tears. He seized Harry around the neck and sobbed unrestrainedly into his shoulder.
Unbelievable. I mean, think about that. He's bawling.
And then Harry felt two large thumps as Fred and George hit them. Then Angelina's, Alicia's, and Katie's voices, "We've won the cup! We've won the cup!" tangled together in a many-armed hug. The Gryffindor team sank, yelling hoarsely back to Earth. Like, they're all in one big huddle on their brooms, and they're like all descent.
Oliver's in the, like, right on Harry. They're all like hands on Oliver. He is crying.
That's so good.
I guarantee people in the crowd are also like tearing up, especially if it's your last year too as a Gryffindor, and Wood's your friend, and you're up there, and Percy's probably like in tears. It's just, it's so euphoric.
Yes.
It's so
crazy.
We see
Hagrid, Percy, McGonagall. Was sobbing harder even than Wood, wiping her eyes with an enormous Gryffindor flag.
Unbelievable.
And then Ron, Hermione, words failed them. They beamed at Harry, and it's just and I love, okay, let's read the last couple of words, because this is so beautiful. "If only there had been a Dementor around. As a sobbing Wood passed Harry the cup, as he lifted it into the air, Harry felt he could have produced the world's best Patronus." This makes me cry.
I know. He's so happy.
This is so good.
So happy. Because, and
yeah, you feel like, man, you're on top of the world in that moment. And it's just like all this happiness and pride and
right.
Just relief.
Yeah, his friends are back together too. And like, there's been all this stuff going on and all this, like Hermione was wanting this. Everyone seemed to want this so bad and to need it. Like, it felt like Slytherin was like winning the year. Like, they were really just and they were being bullies about it, and they were being smug, and they were being, you know, they weren't just being, I don't know, there was no chivalry. It was just they were very,
Malfoy also was kind of the reason why an innocent magical beast gets killed.
Yeah. So all of that seems to come to this emotional climax here. And they've had a crazy year. Sirius Black sneaking in. Crazy stuff's going down.
Yeah.
So the school's on edge. And to have this emotional, crazy release is awesome. Yeah. And I really felt that in reading and listening to this chapter. And I think if you go back again and listen to this specific chapter, and you want some energy, and you want to really just like kind of put yourself in the Quidditch pitch, this is where it's at. This is the chapter that really gets you just locked in. It's great. Love it. So,
gosh, man.
Oh, wow. All right.
So, thank you so much, by the way. Like, this is, you know, the end of the year and a whole year. This is our first year completely where from the beginning to end, we've had Shell Cottage ready, because last year, the year before 2022, we just started in spring, right? So this is our first full year of Shell Cottage ready. And just thank you so much to everyone who's been listening and following our podcast, our our journey, and just enjoying the stories with us. And I know, like, there's ups and downs, and sometimes life gets in the way, like, for everybody. But we're so, so excited for the next year, and really 24. We have some big goals and ambitions, and we are so, so excited to bring more content to you guys in different forms and ways, and just interact with you. And my husband's raising his hand. So.
Yeah, I think we should that's a really good point to kind of, we have this happy euphoric moment here. It's a big shift in this book, right? So it's kind of fitting that we're right here at the end of this year, going into a new year, and then we'll finish strong with the rest of Prisoner of Azkaban, and then we'll get into Goblet of Fire. And we're wanting to do more. I think, like, we've had a very busy year, and we've got plans. They'll be announced later at the end of this school year. You guys will hear some really exciting news, I think, for us and for Lottie and for the channel and just what we're doing. So stay tuned for that. I think, especially if you're a new listener and you're looking back over at our project and you want to be more involved, there's going to be ways for you to be more involved. There's going to be some more shout outs, some more fun activities, I think, that will increase our engagement with our listeners, because that's what it's all about. I think it's really fun, and I want that experience for folks. And so we're working on those things. We feel more settled in, as we said last episode, with our studio and bringing that visual component to you and bringing other things. And we're going to start asking more for your feedback and make improvements and just keep going. I think and be more, our headspace is going to be more clear, I think, as we go into the next year. And so we're excited about that. And can't wait to sit. Yeah, well, just I almost want to say it, but I'm not going to say anything yet. So we'll save it for later.
Yes.
But just know that we're excited about a lot of cool things coming in the future in 2024.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, friends, with that, we want to wish you a happy new year. Thanks so much, and we will be back in. We'll see you next year is kind of what we'll say here, right? So thanks for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you'll join us in the future. We thoroughly do enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons! Oh my gosh.
You almost missed it. What's up with that? I actually kind of like it because sometimes it changes up the outro. People are like, all pre-recorded. And it's not. We do it every time. Over 70 times I have said the babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
That's pretty good.
Right. Anyways, if you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review and follow over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you, to Luna and back. don't forget to still enter our giveaway. Simply leave us a review on Apple Podcast. After 50 reviews, we will start drawing our winners, and we have a Tom Riddle Funko Pop, the illustrated version of Order of the Phoenix, and the Hufflepuff edition of Sorcerer's Stone, signed by a true badger over here, a Harry Potter cookbook, and a Shell Cottage shirt ready to be sent out. So don't hesitate, grab your phone, and write a few words on how you like the pot so far. On our next reread episode, we will continue our journey through Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban with Chapter 16, Professor Trelawney's Prediction. We will have a special guest host in the cottage next week to discuss this very interesting Trelawney chapter with us. So definitely make sure to tune back in next time. And until then, have a wonderful rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our Shell Cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.